So isn't it wonderful to know about God's plan, master plan for all mankind? So what a privilege it is to know God's master plan. You know, when the United Church of God was incorporated in 1995, 20 fundamental beliefs were identified and approved by the elders of the church to be listed as part of the governing documents. So the church considered the teachings of this belief to be critical to building on the right foundation for a proper reference for God's word. You know, the 20 fundamental beliefs were printed in the book entitled The Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God, an international association. So this afternoon, I would like to go over one of these fundamental beliefs from the booklet, and you might have guessed which one due to my introduction. So that fundamental belief is the festivals of God, and it is discussed in the 12th chapter of this booklet. Well, first of all, I would like to quote the summary paragraph at the beginning of the chapter that states, "We believe in the commanded observance of the seven annual festivals that were given to ancient Israel by God, were kept by Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church, and will be observed by all mankind during Christ's millennial reign." So these festivals reveal God's plan of salvation. So that was the summary paragraph from the booklet. So most people do not know why they were born and do not know God's plan for mankind. But we have a part now and in the future in helping people understand God's master plan, which is revealed by these seven annual holy days. You know, the only way to know God's master plan for mankind is by knowing and keeping these holy days every year. So a big reason that the world does not understand God's plan is because they do not keep God's holy days. You know, Satan has blinded the world to the true knowledge of the holy days by substituting pagan holidays in their place. So my purpose today, this afternoon, is to give you five reasons, and there are probably others, why we need to keep the holy days each year. So the first reason is the most obvious. God commands us to keep the holy days. Please turn to Leviticus 23, where all the holy days are mentioned. So that's Leviticus 23, and we'll go ahead and start in verse 1. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed time. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day, on the same month, is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. And verse 7, on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. Verse 8, the seventh day shall be a holy convocation. Now skipping to verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the days after the seventh Sabbath. Skip it to verse 24. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Verse 27, and the tenth day of the seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. Skip into verse 34. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day shall there be a holy convocation. On verse 36, on the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. It is a sacred assembly. Now, verse 37, these are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. So these are holy convocations or commanded assemblies of God's people. The days are holy because they are set apart by God. So the word feast is used four times here in the sense of festival or celebration. So the Hebrew word used for feast is, I'll just spell it, C-H-A-G, C-H-A-G, or H-A-G, H-A-G, meaning festival. And this is Strong's number 2282, and it's used in verse 6, where it says Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in verse 34, where it says Feast of Tabernacles. Also, it's used two other times in verse 39 and 41, which we didn't read, where it states, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. Now, the word feasts, that's the plural, in case I didn't pronounce that right, used in verse 2, 4, and 37, and also 44, where it says, the feast of the Lord, the Hebrew word here, used as M-O-E-D-I-M, M-O-D-I-M, and this one is Strong's 4150, and here it, this one, this word means appointed times. So therefore, this occasions or special times that God has made for his people, appointments he wants you and I to keep. So God tells us in Leviticus 23, that these are the feast of the Lord. They are not the feast of the Jews. We are told that the feast days are holy convocations. They're a statute forever, and they are to be proclaimed in their seasons. In other words, we are to keep the holy days every year. You know, like many of you, I have been keeping the holy days for many, many years, decades. You know, the holy days are mentioned elsewhere in the Old Testament. Another scripture that we can mention is the offertory, in the offertory messages that are used, is in Deuteronomy 16:16. That everybody is pretty well familiar with that. I'll just go ahead and read that. Three times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So the world has substituted other religious holidays instead of God's ordained holy days, which we are to keep and observe. God commanded us to assemble on these days for worship and to learn about him and his plan, as well as for fellowshipping and rejoicing together. The Fundamental Beliefs booklet also brings out that the understanding of the gospel message, that God's plan of salvation, is enriched by realizing that God uses the physical harvest of food crops to symbolize the spiritual harvest of human beings through God's gift of salvation by Jesus Christ. So please turn to Matthew 9:37-38. That's Matthew 9:37-38, where we read, Then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So the first three festivals are associated with the spring harvest in the land of Israel, while the last four harvests are related to the harvest of the late summer and fall. So the first reason to keep the holy day is that God has commanded us to keep them, which should be a pretty good reason to keep the holy days. The second reason we should keep the holy days every year is that Jesus Christ and the early church kept these days. So one example is in the New Testament can be found in Acts 2. Acts 2, 1 through 4. So in Acts 2, 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this was the beginning of the New Testament church with the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the apostles kept the days of Pentecost. You know, there are many other examples in the New Testament where the apostles and the New Testament church kept the various holy days. So one of the big examples of Jesus keeping the holy days was when he celebrated Passover with his disciples, along with the foot washing and the symbols of the bread and wine. So we read this in Matthew 26, 17. So that's Matthew 26, verse 17, where we read, "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to him, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" So if we skip to verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you.'" In verse 28, "For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So the apostles and disciples of the early church continued to observe the festivals long after Jesus' death and resurrection. And we read this in Acts 20:16. So in Acts 20:16, we read, "For Paul had decided to sail from past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia. For he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." So we see that Jesus Christ in the New Testament church kept the holy days, setting us an example that we should keep them. Jesus had the chance during his lifetime to show us likewise, but he didn't. He kept the holy days as set forth in Leviticus 23. The apostles, after Jesus' death, also had the chance to not observe the holy days, but they continued to keep the holy days as set forth in Leviticus 26. So the third reason that we should keep the holy days each year is for us not to forget. So please turn to Deuteronomy 16. So that's Deuteronomy 16. We'll start verse 3. So that's Deuteronomy 16:3. "You shall eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life." So now if we go to verse 12, and again it mentions the word, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe this statutes. So we can easily forget if we are not constantly reminded of things. And that is especially true if we do not keep the Passover and the holy days each year as God has commanded. You know, the holy days teach us God's master plan for all mankind. You know, we would lose that knowledge if we did not keep the holy days every year. You know, we get so busy in our daily lives with everything around us, school, work, children, families, grandkids, and even illnesses that God has has us keep the holy days every year to remind us why we were called and the purpose he has for all mankind. So the third reason I have is that we should not forget why we were called and the purpose for all mankind. So the fourth reason is that we might fear God. So please turn to Deuteronomy 14, which is just back one page or so. Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 to 25. That says, where it read, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herd and your flocks, that you may learn to fear, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if your journey is too long for you, so you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where you choose, where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, then the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses." So the Hebrew word for fear in verse 23 is Yare, which is Strong's 3372, which is translated to fear, to revere, to frighten, to make afraid, put in fear, and be had in reverence. So this fear is a sort of a respect and recognition of God's power and authority, which leads to obedience and having a deeper relationship with God. So this is another good reason why we should keep the Lord, the holy day, so that we could fear God. So please turn to Deuteronomy 6. So that's Deuteronomy 6. And verse 1. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. And this is the commandment, and this is the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson, and all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Verse 3, "Therefore hear, O Lord, and be careful to observe it, that he may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." So if we can skip to verse 24 and 25. "And the Lord commanded us to observe all his statutes," again, "to fear the Lord your God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as to this day, then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us." So God tells us here to fear him, and that it is for our good always if we keep his judgments, his statutes, his commandments, which he commanded us to keep. So the fifth reason I have why we should keep the holy days every year is that God should be the focal point of the holy days for us. You know, God wants us to focus our thoughts on his master plan for all mankind, despite what is going on around us. You know, sometimes the period before the holy days, the spring holy days, can be challenging, to say the least. Seems that that happens year after year. In our booklet, The Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God, it states, "Through the observance of these feasts, God's people focus on and are reminded throughout the year of the work of Jesus the Messiah in fulfilling God's plan of salvation. His work involves different phases, first coming to offer himself as the sin offering for humanity, now serving as advocate and high priest for his people, and living within them to help them overcome sin, and ultimately returning in power and glory to establish the reign of the kingdom of God over all nations. So through Christ as our focal point, we begin to understand the special meaning behind the seven holy days. God commands us to keep the holy days every year. You know, God has given us these seven annual holy days to remind us yearly of the plan of salvation. You know, how else would we know the meaning of the holy days unless we keep them every year? The plan of salvation is revealed in the holy days as pictured in the meaning of the seven annual festivals listed in Leviticus 23. So the Bible teaches that eventually God will teach everyone to observe the holy days. So an example of this is found in Zechariah 14:6. And that's Zechariah 14:6. Let's just go ahead and read that. And he shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, what a wonderful time that will be. And I'm sure we're all looking forward to that. I would like to quote part of a paper written by a 11-year-old girl. Her name is Tessa Black, and I believe she attended the church in Houston. This paper that she wrote for a class in school about why she keeps the holy days. The article is entitled, "Why I Celebrate God's Biblical Holy Days Instead of Holidays." It appeared in the United News, December 2005. So that's 20 years ago. At that point, she was 11 years old. Okay. And she says, "We do celebrate God's holy days from the Bible. These holy days were given to God's people in the Old Testament and were kept by Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament. I love God's holy days because they teach us to remember things that God has done for his people in the past and his plan for saving all mankind." You know, she goes on to say in the article, "I want to tell you about the festivals that are in the Bible and what they mean to me." So I'm just going to read one of them, and that's about the Days of Unleavened Bread. And here she goes and says, "We remember God's rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt and that they had to eat unleavened bread. Unleavened bread has no yeast in it, had no yeast to puff it up, so it is flat. We also learned that the next step in God's plan is to try to take the sin out of our lives. Sin is like leavening. It puffs up, makes us proud. God wants us humble, like the flat bread. During this week, we eat unleavened bread and take all the puffy bread out of our house to remind us to clean the sin out of our lives." So yes, what a beautiful word spoken from an 11-year-old girl. And I have an 11-year-old granddaughter, so I was showing the article. So, as we observe the first holy days of the year, and we look forward to the other holy days, let's remember the five reasons I've covered for why we should keep the holy days each year. The first reason is that God commands us to keep the holy days. The second reason is that Jesus Christ and the early New Testament church kept those days. The third reason is so that we do not forget what God is doing in our lives and the plan he has for all mankind. The fourth reason is that we might learn to fear God. And the fifth reason that we should keep God's holy days every year is that Jesus Christ should be our focal point throughout all the holy days. So what a wonderful privilege and opportunity that we have been given at this time to understand the holy days and keep them every year. So let's not be weary in well-doing, God has us keep the holy days every year for our own good.